Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. It's been some time since we as a community have come to the communion table. I thought this might well be an appropriate time given the days that are upon us, Thanksgiving Day being Thursday, to speak to a true Thanksgiving. In America, we celebrate this day and the institution of what's called Thanksgiving Day, wherein the pilgrims and Indians who shared their goods with the pilgrims came together and they gave thanks. In the New Testament, the word being translated, thanks, thankful, thanksgiving, thanksgivings, the Greek word is eucharistia. Listen, eucharistia. Now, this communion table has been called many things. It's called the table of the Lord. It's called the table of grace. By many traditional churches, it's called the Eucharist. Now, in some traditional churches, they have grabbed the word and caused it somehow to become mysterious, wherein, you know, one pronounces over the elements of bread and wine, and somehow or other they mystically become the body and blood of Jesus. That's not what we're doing here. Others, you know, approach this table with great trepidation. I'll never forget one day we were joining for communion at the Bible Museum, and there were three visitors unaware of what we were about to do, and I invited them to come and join us, and one responded, "Oh, brother, we take 3 weeks to prepare before we go to the table of the Lord." Folks, this was a simple exercise instituted by Jesus Christ the night before he was crucified, celebrating the Passover with his disciples. Wherein he took a cup, gave thanks, eucharistia, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink." He took bread and gave Thanks, Eucharistia. Break the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Eat. And said, Do this in remembrance of me. His flesh was still on his bones. His blood was still in his veins. No mystical act. What he was doing was showing these elements, the broken bread and the cup of wine, as but symbols of himself. It truly was a simple act. And Paul, in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, tells us that we are to partake of these elements worthily. An adverb, that is, in a worthy manner, discerning the meaning thereof. So many this week are going to be gathered around the table, giving thanks to God, maybe, for the food that is in front of them. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. But he also, in the Mount of Temptation, having fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, being tempted of the devil to turn stones into bread to satisfy the flesh, he said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. What was he saying? There's more to life than eat and drink. And therefore, we look through this broken bread and through this cup of wine at what they symbolize and remember Jesus Christ and what he did. And in that remembering today, I want to go to a familiar passage to some. I hope it would become most familiar to all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father, to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. King James opens a chapter translating, Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord reveal. The Hebrew would have it who has amend our report? Who has put no doubt in our report? Dr. Scott, in exegeting this phrase, used to say, how few have amened our report. We're in the middle of the teaching from the book of Ephesians, speaking of the privilege of our calling in Christ Jesus our Lord. And what Isaiah 53 has to tell us of Jesus, that our remembrance might be even more focused on him, is astounding. As we look through this bread to Jesus, we bring our attention to the fourth verse of this 53rd chapter, wherein it says, he has borne our griefs, King James, borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Man, that's just so weak. That's just so weak. And as a pastor, I have the obligation of putting forth the best declaration of what this passage is saying. Surely he has taken upon one's self. He was touched, if you will. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he was touched with our, King James says, griefs. No, the word is holy. 29 times this word is found in Hebrew in the Old Testament. 28 times it speaks of sickness, of disease, of infirmity, of calamity. Not griefs. And carried, having borne, it says, and carried our sorrows. The word picture is he carried away our, Hebrew word is machab. And it means to feel pain, because sickness, disease, infirmity, calamity, they bring pain. And Isaiah, God through Isaiah, is declaring unto us what Jesus has done. Isaiah goes on in that same fourth verse, talking about how some people viewed what Jesus was doing. It says, "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Because he was responsible. No, no, no. Listen to the next verse. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Before he died, that horrible death on the cross, he was brutalized with the scourge of a Roman whip. What was its purpose? That we are healed. It says the chastisement of our peace. The word being translated chastisement is musar, which means that which is required to restore something that was lost. And the word peace, the Hebrew word is shalom, and it means wholeness and wellness, well-being. God is declaring here that not only was Jesus Christ in these acts proceeding up to and including Calvary was not only restoring to us eternal life, but wholeness and wellness. And that's why that fifth verse declares that with his stripes, we were healed. Now, When somebody has done something for you, the proper response is to be thankful, is to recognize the act. That's what we're doing at this table. That's what the remembering is. And as we take this bread, we do give thanks to God in our Lord Jesus Christ for that which he did for us, namely healing us. Peter, looking back at the occasion, says, "With his stripes ye were healed." Folks, this communion table, this table of grace, this table of the Lord, this Eucharist is a table of faith. And we take it, that is, this bread, thanking God for the healing provided by Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's two elements at this table. And Isaiah goes on in the sixth verse, giving perhaps the best definition of sin, or best description of sin, wherein he says, All we, including me, including you, all we like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. At this table, wherein Jesus said, "As oft as ye do it in remembrance of me," we have the opportunity to look at God, to look at the good news of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, who, for us straying sheep, going our own way, God stepped in and laid on Jesus Christ. What does it say? Laid on him the iniquity of us all. And there's no parsing of words here. Of us all means the whole world. And it means all our iniquity. All Nothing left out. The 11th verse says, "He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." God shall see the travail of Jesus' soul and shall be satisfied. The offering was acceptable to restore the whole world unto God. But Isaiah says of this report, "Who has faith? By grace are ye saved." Through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. God shall see the travail of the soul of Jesus and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant righteousify many. The passage ends saying, "And he," that is Jesus, "bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." We have this cup. It's a cup of wine. Quite frankly, the ingredients of the cup has less to do with anything than being edified by what the cup symbolizes. The scripture is clear. It says the life of the soul is in the blood. It says, just previous in that 12th verse, it says, "Because he poured out his soul unto death." This cup represents the life that was given for us. Life of the Son of God, who was worth more than the whole world to God. He poured out his soul unto death for us. Truly, as we discern what Jesus did, our response must be thanksgiving to God, a Eucharist not corrupted by the traditions of men, but from the depths of our being, we, amen that report. faith. We give thanks to God as we remember Jesus Christ. In what he has done for us. As you take the cup, will you say, Amen, and thank you in Jesus' name.